Welcome in to a daily editorial here on the KE Report. In this daily editorial, we are getting an update from Skeena Resources and the president and CEO, Walter Coles. Skeena is traded on the TSX Venture Exchange under the symbol SKE and on the OTCQX under the symbol SKREF. Walter, first and foremost, let's recap a news release that came out earlier this month, August 7th to be exact, that simply outlines that you guys are drilling at Eskay Creek. Please provide us with some details regarding what the drill program looks like and really what you're hoping to prove out, some of your hypothesis heading into this drilling.
Yeah, we've got two drill rigs turning at Eskay Creek right now. And that's part of a planned 15,000-meter program. It's primarily infill drilling. We need to move the inferred resources over to the indicated category in anticipation of the next step after the PEA, which will either be pre-feasibility or straight to feasibility. We can't convert resources to reserves unless they're in the measured and indicated category. So that's what we're working on right now. There'll be a small amount of meterage devoted to step out exploration, but pretty straightforward infill drill program. One of the things is upside even on the infill. I had the former general manager of SK tell me that you never know when you're doing the infill, you might stumble into some new sort of super high grade pod. So. It's even though it is infill, it's worth watching the results. Maybe we'll get a lucky surprise. We also plan to drill at SNIP a little bit later in the season. We'll be doing some exploration there, again targeting the 200-foot wall and the down dip projection of the twin vein.
Okay, one quick comment too regarding infill drilling is that you do infill because you have had some success in those areas with some of the more exploration holes that were drilled before. Can you recap to some of our listeners who might have missed some of that drilling from last year that's making you, again, focus back on, do some of this infill drilling? What are some of these results that you're following up on?
Well, I mean, we're targeting the areas that Barrick didn't mine. So, as you will recall, this mine operated from 1994 until first quarter of 2008, and the cutoff grades that were used ranged from 30 grams in the first 4 years of mining down to 12 grams in the last couple of years. So what we're going after is the remaining mineralization that's less than 12 grams. And the other big difference is that we're looking at this project as an open pit where the historical operators mined the highest grade as underground. And by looking at this as an open pit, there's a lot of gold that's still there that's less than 12 gram cutoff. So we're expecting in the mine plan and the PEA using a cutoff grade of 2 grams. So I can just assure you there's a lot of gold left there better than 2 grams that should be economic, and that'll be demonstrated by our PEA.
Now let's talk about that PEA. From what I understand, you guys are planning to have that out at the end of Q3, which means the end of next month in September. Any updates on the timeline? Is this still on track?
Yeah, it's still on track. We'll have it out in September. I'm not sure on the exact timing yet, but I think the team here is pretty confident we can hit that deadline. We decided to wait and put the metallurgy out with the in conjunction with the PEA, and there's no two ways about it. Eskay Creek is complicated from the metallurgical front, and that's part of the reason we felt that we would wait and put out a more fulsome explanation of the pathway that we've chosen.
So let's talk about that metallurgy and maybe go through some of the history of Eskay when it comes to mining, because I, too, have gotten a few questions on metallurgy. I am not a geologist, but I do relay a lot of these questions to some of the people that I really respect in the with a geology background. But when it comes to Eske, I know you have some debating as to how to move that project into a full-scale production. But what has history kind of shown you between the options that are available here?
Yeah, so I can give you anecdotal history, again, coming from the former general manager of the mine. He told me that back in the 1990s, early 1990s, you know, they'd put together this incredible resource, or Corona had put together an incredible resource there. And then they went to look at the, you know, sort of viable options for producing gold. And they initially wanted to just do direct ship and of ore and concentrate, but they didn't have any takers on the smelter side. They were told by all the smelters that the impurity levels were too high and their concentrate was not saleable. And as a result of that, they spent 2.5 years approximately working on sort of a way around that problem. And so Corona and Homestake ended up spending millions of dollars doing feasibility level work on pressure oxidation. But there's a context to the problems they encountered with pressure oxidation, in that they had excellent recoveries for gold, but pressure oxidation was considered riskier on the silver side. And back at that time period, the price of silver was over $8 an ounce, and gold was sort of between that, you know, call it $300 and $350 an ounce range. And so because the silver was worth more than the gold, pressure oxidation was not something that they really wanted to go down, and a pathway they wanted to go down unless they had to, because of the difficulties with silver recovery with pressure oxidation. Gold was great, silver was riskier. So after they did all of the design work for pressure oxidation, beyond feasibility, like pilot plant level work, before they built it, I'm told they said, let's try one more time with the smelters. And the second time they tried I think it was the 1993 time period, they were able to place the concentrate and place the direct ship ore. And so as a consequence, they did not build a POX plant. They started mining, direct shipping the ore, and then in sort of like the middle 90s, they built the concentrate plant, and they started shipping a concentrate as well as the direct ship ore. So, you know, here we are. It's funny how history can repeat itself. We face the same issues with the concentrate that we created, and that has forced us to go down to look at these other pathways. And we have a pathway that works. It entails a slightly, you know, somewhat higher capex, but we have the grade. You know, we're fortunate. We have 4.5 grams per ton open pit grade, which is excellent. And so we have the economic cushion with that grade to evaluate a number of other pathways. So we have one that's sort of our base case that we're starting with, and the PEA is based on that. But there are a number of different other options that we can continue to evaluate, including potentially finding takers for a concentrate. You know, that's sort of the broad strokes on the history and also the PEA that we have coming out shortly.
Okay, I appreciate that. And I know until we get that PEA out, you and I will talk about it and then further dive into these different options that you have. But just important, I think, for everyone to understand how this project was mined in the past, some of the hurdles they had to get over, and some of the similarities that you're facing. But that's why you come out with a PEA, to get kind of an understanding of what your options are. Another quick note, too, is that the company closed a private placement in July. You raised just over $5 million. What does that look like now for the company's treasury as you are going through this 15,000 meters at Eske?
Yeah, we've got about $6 million in the bank. We're also looking at divesting some of these assets like Black Dome, GJ. You know, frankly, everything's for sale except for Eske Creek.
Okay, so other ways to raise money, but at the same time, that was a nice raise of cash to get you through this drill program. Walter, I don't think there's much else to cover. We talked about the drilling. We talked about the PEA still being on track for next month and how that metallurgy will also, it sounds like, be released in and around that time and what investors need to look forward to, because simply this is still just understanding how to move this project through and then also de-risking further that resource. So in the meantime, Walter, please keep us up to date as news does come out. Everybody, if you have questions, feel free to email me, fleck@kereport.com. I'm happy to either answer those directly and put those in front of Walter. But in the meantime, next month, I'm sure we'll be chatting, Walter, on the back of that PEA. Thanks for your time today.